And welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors. If you're just joining the broadcast tonight, we are doing open lines. We could talk anything from morel mushrooms to turkey hunting to fishing. Anything in the outdoors, we'll be glad to help you any way that we can. The numbers to reach us, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. If you just we were talking in the first portion of the program about a variety of subjects, actually. But the mainstay was the turkey season opener here in Kentucky this weekend. Indiana opens this coming Wednesday, the 21st day of April. And everyone has, obviously, a tremendous amount of interest in what the birds are doing, what folks' hunts were like. Would love to hear from any of you who were in the woods in Kentucky this weekend. I'd like to know what you saw out of the birds, what they were acting like. Would very much like to hear your thoughts about the flock and where you think it is. What I mean by that is, in your area that you hunt, is the number of birds down? Are they up? Are they about average? Lots of folks are reporting that numbers are down on the statewide outlook. Some counties and some areas have had some good hatches the last couple of years. They're holding their own, but a lot of places, folks are telling me they're just not seeing the birds the way they have in the past. And this is a growing concern. It's a situation that's mirrored in many of our surrounding states and throughout turkey range across the southeastern United States in particular. The number of birds has plummeted in Missouri, Alabama, Mississippi, Georgia, Virginia, West Virginia, portions of Ohio, many of the places in southern Indiana. So it's a situation that all the biologists are scratching their heads about. The talk amongst the biologists in the states is revolving around several things. One of the ones that is very evident is a lot of states have had very liberal bag limits, and they're becoming aware that they've opened their seasons too early. By opening the season before the gobblers have a chance to breed, with the popularity of turkey hunting and the knowledge and expertise that hunters have gained through decades now of being able to hunt these birds, they're very, very efficient. To give you an example, in Kentucky, one of the latest studies showed that 60% of our gobblers are being harvested. That is an astronomical percentage of birds out of the flock, and a lot of them are taken early on before they have a chance to breed. And while birds do start breeding in late March and early April, the real peak of the breeding occurs right around the middle of the month in April. So that's a situation that they're monitoring, and a lot of thoughts about that. So if you have any thoughts about it or have something that you'd like to relate, again, the number's 571-8484-1-800-444-8484. We also talked in the first segment of the program about fishing, and I don't want to ignore you fishermen because fishing is absolutely wide open right now. The white bass are still running. A lot of movement on that regard. The big news for a lot of folks is the crappie spawn. The crappie spawn has been somewhat muted because of all the rain and flooding and fluctuating water temperatures. However, water conditions have started to moderate, and we're seeing a situation now where we're headed towards the full moon in April on the 26th. Which obviously is week from Monday. And so what that means is you're going to see a tremendous surge of spawning crappie come to the banks this week, and they'll continue to be up in shallow spawning habitat, certainly for the next 2 weeks. And that's exciting news. I fished for crappie and bluegill several days this week, had fantastic success. Bluegill are staging up as well. Now, they're not preparing to spawn per se, but they're in the shallows gorging on the aquatic insect life that's available now that the water temperatures have exceeded 60 degrees. All the bluegill that I cleaned this week had been gorging themselves, and they were just in marvelous condition. And it's very obvious they're trying to put on weight before they start to spawn in May. So we're pointed at some just awesome fishing opportunities on the panfish. Bass fishing is wide open as well. It's been really, really good. Fish are shallow. This is a time of year when you don't need to go much deeper than 6 or 8 feet to find fish. And they're catching them on everything, chatterbaits, spinnerbaits, crankbaits, you name it. When fish are shallow, they're a lot easier to target. A lot of really good big fish are being taken on plastic baits, crawfish imitations, tubes, etc. This is just one of those times of year when it's just really, really magic, and it's going to get better and better as we transition through April into May on the bass side of the equation, and bluegill as well. Striper activity's been awesome. So there's just a lot of things popping right now. I also mentioned in the first part of the program, for those of you who enjoy hiking in the woods, either hunt for antler sheds or hunting for morel mushrooms, that the morel mushrooms have started to emerge. They burst forth about a week to 10 days ago, and they're going to continue to do so as we move through the month of April into early May. It's a great time to be out there. However, a word to the wise, this goes for you turkey hunters as well as folks hunting sheds and or just hiking in the woods. You got to protect yourself from ticks. They're out there in profusion. There's lots of them this year, and they just seem to be really, really active right now. So I'd encourage you to get some good tick repellent and spray it on your clothing prior to going out. If you spray your clothes up with it, hang them out overnight. They're good for about 2 to 3 weeks of protection from the ticks. And I don't go out without it. I just don't. These ticks are carrying so many ugly diseases that it's simply not worth the risk. I know I've talked about that a lot here recently, and I'm going to continue to do so because I don't want to see any of you get hurt by your enjoyment in being in the outdoors. So, again, open lines tonight. The number is 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. We got to go to break here. This break is presented by SMI Marine. Tim Addington and his knowledgeable staff are ready to take care of you and your boat. They're also taking orders for the new boats, and they carry StarCraft pontoons and deck boats, Falcon bass boats, and there's a new low aluminum boat dealership. Go see them. Tell them Jimbo sent you. And remember, you know, never get soaked by my friends at SMI Marine. Well, welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors. We're doing open lines tonight, talking turkeys, fishing, morel mushroom hunting. Any outdoor activity that I can help you with, I will gladly do so. To reach us, call us at 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484, which is exactly what Dip from LaGrange has done. Hey, Dip, we haven't heard from you in a while. How you doing, partner?
I've been pretty busy there, Jim. Yeah, I've been noticing down in the woods here across from the house there, I got a little opening about 1.5 acres, 2 acres, and my deer come up every afternoon. I'm still feeding them. I don't know if that's good, bad, or ugly. But the Tom was down over the hill our day before yesterday and had about 4 hens with him. I'm hearing them roost right now down here in the woods. But that, they're not coming up very close to the corn. Is that unusual?
Well, yeah, if they've been on it for a while, it is. And there's a lot of other foods available to them now, and they're traveling a lot. By that, I mean, you know, they expand their range as they start to forage about. The hens are looking for areas to nest. The gobblers are following the hens around and expanding their range as well. So with the big shuffle that's going on, there could be a lot of factors that enter into that situation.
Yeah, I'm not a big hunter, but I really don't hunt. But I noticed they stayed down around the cedars and everything. I just sit there on the front porch and watched them for a good 15, 20 minutes. And after the deer left, I thought, well, surely they're going to come out in this opening and come up and feed on the corn and the apples I throw out. But they just turned, went on back down through the thickness of the cedars and everything, and kind of just, but I can hear them every morning. And I'm listening to them right now in the afternoon here to the left of me where my woods are at, and I guess they're fixing a roost. But I've been hearing them quite a bit, but that's the only time I've seen them.
I see. Well, as I say, they start to range out and forage in different areas as you know, the season progresses. And birds that have fed around home sites like yours do tend to drift off and go into different areas that, you know, take them into different food sources, clover fields, alfalfa fields, you know, just there's a variety of places they'll go at this time of year to feed. So I'm sure you're just seeing part of that shuffle. It's interesting, however, that they're roosting that close to your house. Those cedars, are they mature cedars?
No, I hand spread it. I just take a coffee can, go down there every afternoon, and just spread it by hand. And some apples I get here and there, and I just cut them up and spread them out with the corn. But really, on one side of them, it's about 105 acres of woods, and it's got a gas line that runs through it that's pretty wide, you know, probably 150, 200 foot wide. That runs quite a ways, and it's a good open area there. But there's, like I said, 105 acres of woods there beside me. It's kind of a weird layout. I live in the city, but they tend to roost over, well, quite often, really.
I see. Well, my question wasn't about the feeder, but the cedar trees you said they hang out in.
Cedars, yeah. I thought you said feeders. I'm sorry.
Yeah. No, that's all right.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of cedars down there, probably 10, 11 acres of cedars that's down in there. And that's where the deer come rolling out every afternoon.
I see. Well, one thing, turkeys really love to roost in mixed hardwood and cedar groves because the cedars provide cover and break the wind for them. And then if there's mature hardwoods in there, of course, they provide the roost limbs that they need to stay up in the trees overnight. So it sounds like you got a pretty magical little area right there, and that's a good thing.
Yeah, there's quite a bit of cedars, to tell you the truth, all the way around through there. Got plenty of, if that's what you're saying, then, and they got plenty of good area there for knock off the rain and the wind there. Okay. Well, good deal. I listen to you quite often, and you're good to show, and I'm glad that maybe a little quick one here. About 3 years ago, we had a little girl that come through here and bow hunting, and I let her go down there, and it was about dark, a little drizzly, and I told the Lord, I said, you go on and let her get that deer be done. Here come a nine-pointer between my house and this other guy's house, and then went on down over the hill. About 5 minutes later, her dad called and said, she got one dip. I said, really? Walked down there, and she had a nice little nine-pointer bolt, and it just tickled me to death to see it. And she was just thrilled, something terrible. I mean, you know. But, and I'm sure it's hanging on the wall, but now.
Yep. Well, that's fantastic.
You know, he was just looking for a spot to take her and said, you know, I just, I need a good spot. And I said, well, you know where one's at. And he come on down, put his feeder out, and then he'd just walk around, come back. And he said, you got some down there. And she got her one. So, anyway. All right. Well, we're going to let you go and let somebody else get in line there, Jim, and we'll talk to you.
Hey, Dip, I appreciate hearing from you, buddy. Be careful out there.
Yeah, sir. You too. Bye-bye.
Yes, sir. You know, there's another great story about someone that shared the property with a young lady, and she was able to take a nice nine-point buck, and that's what this is all about. I'm really, to be quite honest about it, very encouraged in the last couple of years about the number of people that I'm encountering that are spending their time and or energies mentoring youngsters and women in outdoor activities. I'm encountering more and more of that, and it's one of the greatest things ever to come along. Women participation in hunting and fishing has, I think it's fair to say, exploded in the last several years, due in part, no doubt, to a lot of the television shows, the outdoor programs that are out there that highlight women in the outdoors, shows how successful they can be, and that, you know, these are not competitive sports. These are lifetime type of sports where once you get immersed in them and you learn how to participate, you can do it throughout most of your life, unlike a lot of competitive sports like playing ball or what have you, where, you know, as time goes on, obviously time takes its toll. You're not able to play ball the way you used to, or at least compete at the levels you were accustomed to. Whereas with hunting and fishing, sky's the limit. As I like to say, it doesn't matter whether you're 8 to 80 or beyond. You fit the category, and it's certainly something that can help you have a magnificent lifestyle, enjoy some great food at the table, and there's just all kind of benefits to being outdoors, so I'd encourage you to take advantage of them. We got to go to break here, folks. This break is presented by Paul Thomas at Mossy Oak Property, Hart Realty. Check them out at MOPHART Realty.com and give us a call, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. We're back on Jim Strader Outdoors. Open the line tonight, folks. The numbers to reach is 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. Again, would love to hear from you turkey hunters out there, what you've seen, what you've experienced, your thoughts about where the flock in your particular region or area where you hunt is doing. I'm hearing a lot of grumblings about a lower number of birds in many sectors of the state. Some areas are holding real good, but it's a mixed bag, and I would say on the average, I'm hearing more complaints than I am thrilled reports about the number of birds. Also, if you've had a youth out for the spring youth seasons in Kentucky or Indiana, Would love for you to share the story about that. We had a young lady, Annabelle Rushing, on earlier in the program tonight, and she harvested a 25.5-pound gobbler, which was the largest out of the 72 hunters, young aspiring hunters that the Appalachian Outdoorsman Association had at their annual youth turkey hunt. And hats off to her. It's her second bird hunting with those folks, and we were tickled to death to share her story. So if you've got a similar story or want to talk turkey, again, the number is 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. I had talked a good bit about the crappie spawning cycle and what it's been like this year, and it's been kind of an interrupted cycle in several regards. One of which is, of course, the water conditions have been bad. It's been a high water, muddy water situation, fluctuating water levels, colder than average water temperatures. But now that the temperatures have reached the 60-degree range, fish are getting very, very active, and I look for the best to come, and we'll talk more about that as we get through the program. Let's go to Jim, who's calling from Shelby County. Yes, Jim, welcome aboard.
Hello, how are you?
I'm doing fine, sir. I hope you're doing well.
Oh, I'm doing okay. I just got off the deck out here. I was trying to listen for some birds, you know, out here on the Giss Creek Lake, the east part of it.
Yes,
and
sir.
I haven't heard any birds out here for quite a while. I went hunting yesterday morning, and I heard one bird. It sounded like he was about 500 yards away, and that's all I heard. I didn't see anything. Do you know where Avonstoke is?
No, sir. I don't think I do.
It's over. You know where the big landfill is in Franklin County?
Yes, sir.
You might say south of that and east of Waddy.
Okay.
My sister-in-law has a farm over there, and for the past 4 or 5 years, it's really fallen off. I used to hear a lot of birds over there, but I just don't hear anything anymore.
Yes, sir. I've heard very similar reports of that in many of the areas on that portion of Shelby and over there in the Anderson County area, basically Franklin County. I don't know, it's kind of a disturbing trend, actually, and one that really has been coming for a while.
Yeah.
We reported on it quite a bit. It's not one thing, it's many things. It's the cold springs and cold rains that we had during the period when the poults were trying to, you know, get established and survive. A lot of them, no doubt, succumbed to hypothermia because of the inclement weather. You've got tremendous pressure from predators.
Yeah.
Whether it be nest predators, you know, there's so many coons and skunks and possums out there now, and all these critters obviously love turkey eggs. And then you add on top of that the explosion that we've had with bobcat and coyotes. And they're just up against a very fierce gauntlet, and it's, I think, taking its toll. And then you add in the fact that we opened the season, in my estimation, a little earlier than we should to allow most of the birds to be bred. And then harvest rates, 60% of the gobblers being harvested, that's a lot of pressure, Jim. It's a lot of pressure.
I know it used to be a hot spot. I mean, I called it a honey hole. Years ago when they had, I guess 10 years ago, and I saw everything. I saw lots of deer. I saw coyotes. I saw turkeys every time I went over there. And over the past years, it just got worse and worse and worse. And like I say, I live out here on the east end of Giss Creek Lake, and I don't hear anything in the morning. I've stuck my head out the back door here a couple of times and listening for birds. And it's just eerily quiet. There's nothing going on. I have a place I can hunt over in out past Cedar Moore over into Shelby Henry County line.
Yes, sir.
There's a place over there. I'm going to try that as soon as I can if I get hold of the lady and tell her I'm coming and see what they have to offer over there. But I think some places it's even worse than what they say, I think. It's terrible.
Well, I'm hearing this from a lot of different places down in Hardin County, over around Litchfield. There's lots of places where Oldham County, portions of Trimble. It's just it's something that we better pay attention to, so we've got, you know, a future with our turkey flock, and it's one where there's probably going to have to be some hard decisions made going forward. But one of the things that I tell everybody, and I'm very serious about this, if you're a turkey hunter and you're serious about the sport, you need to learn to be a trapper. You need to learn to help control the predators on the properties you hunt, because if you don't, you got to realize there's a critter that's on the ground 365 days a year. They're hungry, and they're very, very good at hunting turkeys, believe me.
Yeah. I turned 78 April 4th, and I ain't probably got too many more years of hunting anyway, but I'm going to give it my best try.
Yes,
but I really enjoy turkey hunting.
Well, it's one of the greatest sports out there. It's I love about it, it's interactive. You know, you're not just sitting there waiting for something to happen. You can, you know, get mobile if you care to, and you can make those calls and entice the bird to you, which adds a whole lot of drama to it. And just it's a tremendous amount of fun and a great challenge. So,
well, I enjoy my guns, and I enjoy the woods. I watch the birds. I have this Remington 870 Magnum. I just love that thing. It's got a shorter barrel, and I got a full choke tube in it.
I see.
And it's got rifle sights on it, so and a sling. So it's really a nice gun. But I get out there and I say, well, I don't have nothing to shoot at.
Well, as a buddy of mine says, life's a lot more fun when you're shooting your gun. So
that's the truth. I enjoy it. And I love it.
Well, good luck to you. I wouldn't be too dismayed right now. The weather you mentioned you hunted yesterday, it was not the best weather to be conducive to gobbling activity. This morning was a lot better. And as we progress through the season, we get, you know, high pressure days with sunshine and whatnot. They'll go to calling and rambling, and those are the days when they tend to be real receptive to calls, as you probably are aware. So stay with it, partner. Good luck to you.
Okay. Thanks for listening to me.
Yes, sir. Thank you for calling, Jim. All right, folks, we're going to go to a break here. This break is presented by Mossy Oak Properties Hart Realty. Paul Thomas is the broker. He is a turkey hunter. He is a deer hunter. He is a fisherman. He understands exactly the type of properties you're looking for. He's got all kinds of listings, wildlife management properties, farms, vacation homes, lake houses, and cabins for sale. He'll be glad to list your properties as well. He's located right there in Munfordville, Kentucky, in kind of the center of the state. He's got listings all over the state. We'd be glad to show them to you. You can check them out on his website, which is mophartrealty.com. Welcome back to Jim Strader Outdoors. The numbers to reach us. We got open lines tonight, 571-8484 or 1-800-444-8484. You know, I've had several folks that I talked to over the weekend and that were out scouting turkeys this week, and almost to a man and or woman, I might add, they've remarked about how the birds are still really with hens right now. Some of the gobblers are roaming, but the most common thing I'm hearing is that the gobblers are roosting next to small groups of hens and flying down with them, and it's been difficult to work the birds, which is not a surprise, really, in any regard. That's a very common thing here early in the season. So that's going to get better and better as a scenario as the season moves forward, because as the hens get bred and finally start laying their eggs and sitting on the eggs, important part, sitting on the eggs, they won't fly up to roost at night anymore. And while they may sneak out to breed, off the nest, it's just a whole different type of situation. And that's when the gobblers really start to roam, gobbling during mid-morning times. It's a magic time, really, to hunt them. Most of my larger columns that I've harvested in my decades of turkey hunting have come in the latter part of the season when the hens are broke up and they'll come to them. So it's just a great time to be out there, and one that we all certainly look forward to and enjoy. I want to return also to what I was talking to about the crappie, because I know that's a great big area of interest for many of our listeners out there. Crappie season is something that folks really look forward to, and it's something that I'll talk a little bit more about as we go through the program. Let's go to Jim now, who's calling from E-Town. Hey, Jim, welcome aboard.
Thank you for accepting my call. I just wanted to call and give you an opinion on what's going on with turkeys. I started hunting turkeys in 1978, and I've hunted them every year since, and I've watched them go from just a few birds up to fields where we see 30 or 40 birds at a time out there. And since coyotes came into the scene, why they've been steadily reducing, I think. And I think it's just a matter of predators that have just really hurt the turkeys and the quail population. I'm also a quail hunter. Too hard-headed to quit, I guess. And I heard the other day about a state, I don't know the name of the state, but they have a bounty on predators. And you bring in a tail from a skunk or possum, coon, or whatever, and they give you $10. And they have a $500 million limit that they keep handing out money for these tails until they run out of money. And I'm pretty sure Kentucky's got a pretty good backlog of money that's been paid in from, hunter license fees and that kind of thing. And I think that could be one of the best uses they could ever dream of to help the turkey and quail population.
Well, there's really not a whole lot of room in the budget for that type of predator bounty system in Kentucky. If any of the states did that, I'm not sure where their funding came from. And did I hear you right? What was the number you were talking about in numbers, the money?
Excuse me?
The monetary amount you said that agency had put aside for bounties?
They were given a bounty of, they started out giving a bounty of $5. And they weren't having a lot of participation, and they went to a bounty of $10 per tail that's turned in, and they started getting a lot more participation.
But what was the pool of money, Jim? What was the pool of money you mentioned that they're drawing from?
Well, that's their fish and game license fees is what they were taking the money from.
Yeah, but I thought you mentioned
it was a hunting license fees is the pool of money they were taking from.
Okay. Well, I thought you mentioned a figure, and I was trying to in my head.
Oh, they had a $500,000 limit on what they would hand out.
I see. Kentucky could not afford that kind of bounty system at the current time. I can't see where it would come from, but to your point about these predators, it's as I said before, we all need to consider being trappers and doing our part to control the number of predators, because as you mentioned, it's affecting small game as well as our turkeys. Deer in particular are under a tremendous onslaught on their fawns. The fawn mortality's escalated with the number of coyotes. Now we've got bobcats everywhere. So I hear you, and hopefully more and more people do what they can. Jim, thank you for calling. I've got to wrap up the show here. Folks, again, I promised I'd talk about the crappie a little bit. The crappie are preparing to spawn with this rise in water temperatures. The males have come up. They're staging, looking for nesting areas. The females are still in a big part, holding out in about 6 to 8 feet of water. Any type of wooded cover you can find, or little ditch runs going up in the backs of the bays where they'll try to spawn, will be great target areas. That's going to escalate heading towards a week from this Monday is the full moon. So this week ought to be magic. We do have some colder temperatures coming in, but it's not going to run them out of the flats and curtail things much. So the next 2 to 3 weeks ought to be really great time to fish for crappie. So enjoyed visiting with you all, and would love to do so again next week. I think he's speaking about South Dakota that had that bounty on those critters, and it was $10 per tail, I believe. I just got a message from a buddy of mine. So we'll see you next week, same time, same place. Check us out on Facebook at Jim Strader Outdoors. God bless everybody.